Pure Dog Talk is the voice of purebred dogs. We talk to the legends of the sport and give you the tips and tools to create an awesome life with your purebred dog. From showing to preservation breeding, from competitive obedience to field work, from agility to therapy dogs, and all the fun in between, your passion is our purpose. Trupanion Medical Insurance for Pets is proud to sponsor Pure Dog Talk. You take every care to give your puppies the best start in life, right? With Trupanion's Breeder Support Program, you can help puppies continue to receive the best. As part of the program, you're able to send your litters home with special offers for immediate coverage to help ease the transition as the puppies adjust to their new home. Should the puppy get hurt or injured, Trupanion will help cover the vet bills so buyers can focus on what's best for their pet. Additionally, there are no limits with Trupanion's coverage. The highest paid claim for a pet on a special offer was over $11,000. Getting started is easy, and there's no cost to you. Click the link on my partner page to join. And don't forget to mention Pure Dog Talk sent you. Welcome to Pure Dog Talk. I am your host, Laura Reeves, and I have today one of our favorite guests. This is Dr. Diane Brown from the Canine Health Foundation. And Diane and I are going to talk about some of the coolest stuff I think is going on in medicine today. And it is how the gut, your stomach, things inside your guts affect your brain. And I just think this is fascinating. So Diane, welcome back. Good to talk to you.
Thanks, Laura. It is good to be here.
Very, very cool. So tell me, now this is a conversation, a topic that you just had at your Canine Health Foundation seminar weekend, right?
Yeah, so we just held our biennial AKC Canine Health Foundation National Parent Club Canine Health Conference, which is a mouthful.
Which is why I couldn't just spit it right out, man. I'm saying.
That's right. It was a successful conference, well attended, lots of veterinary students, veterinarians, breeders, people who cross over those different categories. And we had some real world-class research talks. And I think people were amazed to hear a lot of the progress that's been made on the gut microbiome. And the gut, obviously, we're talking about from when something enters your mouth to when it makes its way through the back end. And we all, as individuals, human or canine, have bacteria that live in our guts that we're learning more and more about the importance of those bacteria to both health and disease. It's really fascinating.
It is fascinating. And I am super excited to hear more about this because I think it has so many applications. And Canine Health Foundation is one of your big areas, right? Is where people and dogs cross over. And this is one of those areas.
That's right. And we call that One Health. And we work on behalf of dogs, as you know, all dogs. And a lot of times what we learn also helps to inform conditions in people, because all of us who know and love and live with dogs know that dogs and people share many of the same conditions and diseases. So some of this new information on the gut microbiome has really led to several things. One, it's being characterized through research projects that we're studying, which tells us what kind of bugs normally live there, what types of bugs might be pathogens or cause disease, and what of those bugs might actually be helping to ameliorate or maybe even prevent disease. And we're seeing associations in this between, of course, gastrointestinal health, so diarrhea, for example, or effects from long-term or sometimes even short-term antibiotic administration that completely changes the gut microbiome. So there's those impacts that are being addressed. So you've got gut disease, you've got antibiotic influence on the gut microflora, microbiome. Then you've got associations with other disorders. And what I'm going to focus on here is talking about that, what we call the gut-brain axis. And it doesn't really make sense when you think about it from the start, but there's increasing evidence about this association in both people and dogs now, thanks to some of the research that we're funding and that our partners are funding, that the impact of the bacterial content of your gut is influencing things like epilepsy, things like anxiety. And it's really fascinating. And so by first measuring and then modifying what's happening in the gut microbiome, that can influence how epilepsy might be managed, how anxiety might be managed, how diarrhea might be managed. And increasingly, we're getting more and more actual peer-reviewed scientific research on this topic. There have been people for years who feed their dogs yogurt or...
Right. I was going to say, is this just as simple as let's take a probiotic and we solve the world's problems, right?
Well, not yet, but we are learning that there is some scientific backup to this now. And what that does is lets us start to use that to target treatment. So one of the most interesting research projects we have going on, and you and I have previously talked about
right.
the AKC Canine Health Foundation's epilepsy initiative.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a really interesting continuation or next leg of the study on epilepsy going on that we're funding that's actually looking at further characterization of the gut microbiome in dogs that live in the same household. And one dog has epilepsy and one dog does not. And that is going to be so informative. It's not a twin study, so to speak, but it is this sort of household comparison study
right.
for dogs living in the same environment, eating the same food. What are those differences? And that could be really compelling. The other thing that we just at the conference heard about was the scientific research and the data presented on using proprietary probiotic products to manage post-antibiotic problems and other types of diarrhea problems. And it's really now fascinating to see these results from these studies. And then the other one that relates to the gut-brain axis, as we're focusing on here, is the use of probiotic to, over the course of a 6-week time period, to impact anxiety behaviors in dogs. And this is a new product that Purina, who is one of our research partners, has really put the resources into develop. And we got to see all of that data presented to us. And it's pretty darn exciting because if you think about a non-drug-based treatment, I think all of us would like to have something like that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And especially if it's low cost and it's effective.
Well, just triggering a thing in my mind that I've seen recently, a calming, like they have their Fortiflora, which I love,
mm-hmm.
right? So your basic probiotic. Is this a similar type of situation that they've put something together like that?
So it's similar from the way the product looks in that it's in these individual small packets
okay.
that are low cost to give a day, but it's a different product with a different probiotic mix. And the product's called Calming Care.
That's it.
And so we saw this demonstration from several researchers on this effect on anxiety again and on diarrhea. Now, the other thing that was really interesting and kind of gross to talk about, but again,
we're dog people. Poop is cool.
We're dog poop. That's exactly right. Everybody loves the poop pictures, right? So there are studies now in fecal transplants in dogs.
Fecal transplants?
Fecal transplants, that's right.
Okay, now this is going to blow my mind. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is pretty fabulous. And you may have heard about it in people
Mm-mm.
in cases of Clostridium difficile, which is a bacterial
right.
overgrowth problem that's very serious in people.
In the hospital a lot.
Well, dogs don't get that same bug, but dogs do get issues with the gut flora.
Mm-hmm.
And they're finding that they give a fecal transplant to the dog by way of a enema. So they're transplanting, you know, healthy flora fecal material into a dog that's sick. And they're seeing that it has an impact in improving the health of that dog. We got to watch some videos of this, which, you know, was really fantastic. And then
I'm just, my mind is spinning. Come on, Diane, you're killing me.
Yeah, so it's really all about, and I think this goes back to what started our conversation here, that the health of your gut is influencing your overall health. So the health of a dog's gut is influencing their overall health. And so if you can make an improvement in that, either with probiotics, which are specifically tested, I'll say this, scientifically tested and developed for dogs, which I'm a big proponent of, as opposed to just pulling something off the shelf that's
right,
untested in dogs. But then this fecal transplant option. And someone asked a really great question, and I think this would be an interesting research study. What about all those dogs out there that we all know and love who regularly kind of do their own fecal transplants when they're out?
Yeah, that is a fascinating question.
So that would be a pretty fun study to do, wouldn't it?
Well, you know, you think about that. I mean, the sort of kitchen table answer to that is they're missing some sort of nutrient in their diet. Well, okay. Interesting.
Well, right. That's always been kind of the wives' tale on that,
right?
That they must be missing. And who knows? Maybe they know that they are, or, you know, some are just more discriminating than others. But it's fascinating. And, you know, not to digress too much, but rabbits regularly eat their own feces. In fact, they kind of suck them right out of their rectums. And that has always been presumed to be part of how they keep their gut health intact. So anyway, this can really...
This is like 8 o'clock in the morning conversation for everybody, I'm here to tell you.
I know. Well, like you said, dog people understand
exactly.
Poop, so...
Have some granola while we talk.
Yeah, but, you know, I think, all joking aside, what's really great about this is it is a kind of more natural, holistic approach, which we're always seeking, because pills are not always the answer to problems. Or it may be that this is a complementary treatment.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm really excited that we're finally seeing some real research come out on the microbiome topic in dogs.
Right. I love it. And so I think microbiome, let's break that down a little bit. I mean, you did a good description earlier, but the thing that I think is important for people to understand is that really does exist through the entire body system, right? Like from as soon as you swallow to as soon as you pass it out, there's bugs all the way along. It doesn't just live in the stomach, if you will.
Right. That's right. And there's evidence that there are different bugs that might predominate in different parts of the gut. And then you start branching out from there. There's also the skin microbiome. You know, that's part of what keeps our skin and dog's skin healthy, is the bacterial population and the microorganism population on the skin. So, I mean, you could pretty much pick any part of the dog, orifice, et cetera, and talk about the microflora and the microbiome there that's helping to keep all systems go and in good health.
Right.
And this is really in early days for dogs, and there's so much more research that's needed. I mean, for all of the things that we learned about these new results and these new outcomes, there are a million more questions that need to be answered. So, you know, as always, we love if people will reach out and support our programs, because as one of the things we've talked about before, the AKC Canine Health Foundation is the largest funder of solely canine health research. And there's just still so much more to do. And we'd love for people to participate and collaborate with us.
Absolutely. And I think this is one of the things that I think is so important, is this Canine Health Foundation is a place where purebred dogs and the American Kennel Club and those of us who breed purebred dogs are funding research that affects everyone, that is beneficial to everyone, from the shelter pet to the hybrid dog, right?
Absolutely.
That is something that we can point to as purebred dog breeders and say, hey, we're so bad. How about this research that we did that just saved your little Fluffy?
Well, the clubs, you're right, and the investments that have been made by those who love and work with purebred dogs have really driven a lot of the research funding. I mean, it's a real collaboration and a real investment. And I look at this as an investment. It's investment in future health. And we see down the line that we finally come to some breakthrough that makes a difference for the health of all dogs. And then also can often inform the health of people.
Right.
As you mentioned.
Mm-hmm. Right. Hang tight, guys. Got a little bit of information for you. We'll be right back to the podcast in a minute. I'm so excited, and I just can't hide it. Yeah, I know. I promised I was never going to sing again. But I'm saying, our new audiobook is available now. Woo! Yeah! Pure Dog Talks, How to Stack Your Dog and Other Important Talks, is a 2-CD set featuring early mentoring episodes from the podcast, tips, and previously unrecorded pep talks. This is a power-packed opportunity for folks who don't want to search our exhaustive 260-some-odd episode library for just the topic they're looking for. This 2-hour series is a great resource for breeders and mentors, 4-H leaders, anybody that's looking for a straight-line trajectory from what kind of dog should I get to raising a show dog, how to stack and move with your dog, to counting championship points for your new dog. Super easy to purchase. Just drop PayPal $25 a book to Laura at puredogtalk.com and make sure audiobook is in the comments and that your mailing address is included, because shipping is free. That's on me. And I'll have it to you in just a few days. Breeder and mentor bundles are available. I'll give you a 10% discount on 5 or more, and this is a very limited print run. So get your order in today. You may not be here tomorrow. Okay, so here's one for you, and it bugs me every time I hear it. So people will always complain in today's society, you know how it is. Oh, Purina is just a big corporation. You can't trust anything they do. And they talk about it, whether it's the dog food research or stuff like this. And I wonder if you could speak to that, because there's so much that's so important that some of these companies are doing that have these resources. And I just would like it if you could touch on that for a second.
Sure. And Purina is who we are partnered with. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you what constantly impresses me is that they have a very strong commitment to research. So their research and development and the amount that they put into studying, whether it's food products or this work on the microbiome, it is truly investment in research that they do on their own,
right,
or with their funded researchers internally or externally. But they also have been so generous in their support for the parent clubs through the Purina Parent Club Partnership Program.
Which I think, can I just say, the greatest thing in the world. And I think not enough people talk about it. Not enough people know about it. I've tried to get somebody from Purina to come on and really emphasize this particular program, because to me, it is amazing.
It is. And, you know, I'll just give you a few numbers here that really tell some part of the story. You know, they've at Purina have been supporting us for more than 20 years by partnering with us, helping to sponsor the conference that we talked about earlier, the National Parent Club Canine Health Conference, and also supporting the Purina Parent Club Partnership Program. And, you know, they're over $14 million invested. And this is outside of their own company.
And that's just in you guys.
Right, right. And yeah, when they invest with us, they don't have any say in how we direct things. So this mm-hmm. still, and this is key, it's independent research. And the fact that they are willing to make that level of contribution speaks volumes. And the other aspect of that PPCP program is half of the funds that are earned every year in a club, half go directly to the club for work that they're doing, and half come to Canine Health Foundation on behalf of the club. So right, talk about a win-win-win.
Well, and many of the clubs designate their money to another Canine Health Foundation project. So for listeners out there who aren't aware and may not be aware of this, and I'm going to give them a shameless plug here, I have continued to feed Purina Pro Plan, specifically Pro Plan products, for many, many years, 15 plus, because of this Parent Club partnership program. And it is a situation in which you, as a dog owner, purchase your dog food, you turn in your points, right? Your scanned receipts these days instead of your circles. It used to be your weight circles. And you designate your Parent Club as the beneficiary of your points, right? And so then at the end of the year, when you've accumulated 50,000 or 7,000 or however many thousand points, Purina figures out how much money that is, and it goes to your Parent Club. And so every single person in your Parent Club and in the German Wirehaired Pointer Club of America, that's a lot of them, those people, all their points go together, and that amount of money is, as you say, divided up between Canine Health Foundation and the Parent Club. And I can tell you, when I was president of the National Club, we were signing checks. We were sending out money, usually to a Canine Health Foundation project. And we're talking about thousands to even tens of thousands of dollars that we're able to donate to research and designate. Like, we want this to go to thyroid research, or we want this to go to a specific cancer research. And so that ability, the Purina program, I think is highly underreported.
Yeah, and I think you bringing this up and helping to get the word out is really key. And again, from my standpoint as a scientist, the investments that they themselves make in research and development for their products is exemplary. So it really, again, we're like a broken record here, but all of this investment in canine health research ultimately benefits the health of dogs. And that's what we're all here trying to do.
Yep, absolutely. Our dogs and everybody else's dogs. Well, Diane, thank you. As always, you are one of my favorite guests, and I just adore talking to you, and I really appreciate your time this morning.
Well, thank you. We appreciate talking with you and getting to talk about our work, and if people want to know more, we've got lots of resources online.
And we'll have a bunch of links to that stuff.
That's perfect. And so come and visit us, give us a call, and that website, I think you'll find, is a wealth of information.
It is. You can get lost in there.
Thank you again. Yeah.
I have several times. I'm like, how do I get out of here? All right. Thanks a lot, Diane.
Well,
have a great...
here's to good health.
Thank you.
As always, if you have any questions or input, we'd love to hear from you. The show notes and links to resources on today's topic are available at puredogtalk.com. Drop us a note in the comments or email to laura@puredogtalk.com. Remember, guys, this podcast is for you. So if you want to know something, give me a holler. We'll do a podcast for you. If you wouldn't mind, you could help me out here. Take a couple minutes to visit iTunes and give us a review. The Dog Show Superintendents Association is a proud supporter of Pure Dog Talk. Our dog show superintendents are the hardworking people who make the dog show function. They are advocates for education and mentorship in the purebred dog fancy. So stop by the super's desk at your next show. Tell them how much you love Pure Dog Talk and give them a shout out for their support. That's all for today. Thank you for joining us on Pure Dog Talk.